Alright, g'day Novocastrians and welcome to the Jetstream podcast for your second F3 Derby preview for this season. The F3 Derbies are the games we look forward to each and every season, and it's up to the supporters to show up and create an intimidating atmosphere to make sure that those benefits thieves from down the freeway return home with absolutely nothing but bitterness and disappointment. From the first F3 Derby way back when Nick Merger broke Jura's leg, these games have actually meant something to the Nui faithful, and it would be great if the players seem to realise how much it actually means to us. So hopefully we're going to see that in their intensity on Sunday afternoon. So to help me preview this game, we're joined this episode by three people to go over this. First up, welcome back Bodes after a long absence. Bodes?
You there, guys?
Yeah. Unmute your microphone, you moron.
No, I wasn't unmuted. I just got a call from the missus.
Fair enough. No worries. Aren't you supposed to turn your phone like on to divert before we start this stuff?
Well, I usually do. I could have declined it, but
you had to take it.
I thought it's best I take the call.
No worries. So we've got a dog in the background, so that's that's gonna work.
God, no, I'll get rid of it.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
Rough. The dog.
And we also welcome Anthony. Welcome back, Anthony.
G'day, guys.
And we also welcome two special guests. One was the dog, and the other one was Joel Goodsir, mate. Welcome back.
Hello. Hey. I'm sorry about the
no,
dog.
That's all right. No problems. Hey, we never said we were professional, mate. It's all good.
So we've been recording this whole time while I was out doing my own thing.
Yes.
Now I feel really like an idiot.
Oh, well, we'll see how much of an idiot you feel like in a minute. So we'll get into the opening question, and this could turn into Buttergate number two. But Joel, pineapple on a pizza, sacrilege or sensational?
Sensational. The tropical fruit, I'm all for it. I love double pineapple. Why not? But then, you know, I want anchovies, I want capers, oh, I want, yeah. You know.
You're going too far on the going too far on the right for that, mate. Jesus. Capers and anchovies. Jesus, no way. Boats.
Yeah, mate. I'm just going to put me chinos on and have me far right pizza. No way, mate. No pineapples on my pizza. Meat lovers all the way. Don't need any of that shit. pineapple juice. No problems. Pineapple on a pizza? No way.
Do you have pineapple juice on a pizza?
No, I'll have pineapple juice with my pizza.
Oh, okay, fair enough. No worries. Anthony?
Yeah, I'm with Joel. I'll take everything on top, and especially the pineapple. I will fight to the death for my right to have pineapple on pizza.
Yep, and that is the correct answer, Bodes, by the way. Yeah, pineapple is fantastic on a pizza. Big fan of the Hawaiian.
Are we sure Bodes isn't a closet gippo?
Well, yeah, he could.
Whoa, 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 you can't come out and say that stuff.
Well, yeah, he does put his butter in the fridge, so you know.
Oh no, please, I can't.
Yeah, you can't have a works pizza without pineapple on it.
No, I've had it before. I prefer it without.
So, okay, fair enough.
No go for me.
All right, well, while we're talking with you, we're going to see how much of a gippo you actually are. And Bodes, throw to you for the riveting conclusion that's currently six to seven weeks overdue of Beers with Bodes.
Frickin' hell, you put this on me.
No, I didn't. I told you earlier today.
I'm going to have to go to my notes file.
Right, okay.
Right, I'm just going to do three beers. Okay. But I think that we're up to beer 14, were we?
Yeah, I think you were up to beer 14 or 15.
Righto. So I'll go to beer 15.
Well, do you want to mention the really shit ones that you're not going to cover off and just say, hey, don't
yeah, no, I can tell you what the shit ones were. That I have no problems doing that. Actually, I can tell you, it's called Cease Hermanos Lager, and it was beer number 23. It was exactly one standard drinks, and it is the dirtiest piss I've ever had. So, yeah, it was just the simplest of lagers and tasted rubbish, but I'm not a lager fan.
Worse than that Blue Tongue rubbish that they used to sell at the...
Ooh, that was a bad beer.
That was a bad beer.
On par. But okay. How about I say what my favourite one was, yep. So just to keep everyone excited, my favourite... Yes. My favourite beer, and it beat the banana beer, was... Give me a drum roll or something, guys. was a Wolf of the Willows extra pale ale. Okay. It was beer number 18, and it was outstanding.
Yep. Any specific details about what was so great about
it? Yeah, just obviously being an extra pale ale, it was the extra hops and being, I do like my hops. So, yep. And on memory, it was a nice 1.9 standard drink. So, a nice hit.
Okay, so you mentioned the best one. You mentioned the worst one. Was there any other ones you wanted to highlight before we close this segment?
I'm just looking through. In the last 11, there were a lot of lagers, and I'm not a big lager fan. So it was a disappointing back end. I think the front end was much better than the back end.
Hmm. All right, well, there you go. That's. I hope it was worth the wait, considering it was, like we said, supposed to be wrapped up between Christmas and New Year. And
poor preparation
prevents piss poor performance. But anyway, we'll find out about that on Sunday as well. All right,
I should have gone to Adelaide.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll jump into the preview now. So the 40th edition, the 40th A-League edition of the F3 Derby sees us hosting the Mariners at McDonald Jones Stadium for the second time this season. This Sunday, kickoff schedule for 5 p.m. Bodes is the VP in charge of stats because Stats Daddy Dave's off tonight. Give us some info.
Right, I'm going to put my director of stats hat on. Two kids, really tired. Okay.
Vomit on the shoulder.
Yep, got to pitch that. Okay. fix your facts brought to you by the director of stats. Rhymes, nice. There's been 39 matches between the two teams. Won 11. The Gippos have won 13, and there have been 15 draws. The average home crowd for this fixture has been 12,500. Average away, 10,800. Cards in the fixture. The Jets have received a whopping 96 cards compared to the Mariners' 57. So that's
You have nearly doubled.
That's a bit of a ridiculous stat. Yep. Bit of good news for us. Biggest win for us against the Mariners was the 4-2 we had last season at the back end of the year when Izzo got hit by a shotgun.
Memories.
Yes, good times. And the leading scorers in this fixture, God was 6, Joel Griffiths, and 6 for Gippo, Matty Simon.
What's the record in Newcastle? What's the record for the fixture in Newcastle?
In Newcastle, I'm sliding through.
Should be up the top.
Oh, it's up the top, correct. In Newcastle, there have been 19 matches. The Jets have won 7. The Mariners have won 4, and there have been 8 draws. And a couple of other key stats. The last 5 home F3 Derby fixtures have ended in a draw. So if you guys want to get on your local sports bet apps and place a draw, you've got a good chance of it coming off. And Morten Nordstrand has scored in the last 2 derbies, so if you're looking for our first goal scorer, he might be your bet as well.
Oh, nice one. All right.
The last one is the most important. The Jets are undefeated in the F3 Derby for the last 869 days, so let's hope we can keep that that rolling.
We really need to get that banner. We need to get that banner going again.
How many days, Buds?
869, so it'll be 873 on Sunday.
Beautiful.
All right, good stuff. Joel, so obviously it's an important game for both teams who are now looking to get themselves into the top 6. You'd hope that translate to a decent-sized crowd on Sunday.
You would, and what are we coming off? There was that Monday night match where we only got 6,200-odd, and before that the crowds have been in the 7s and 8s for a few weeks, but with the Gippos having the free entry, all the ones that can't afford to buy a ticket can come. So I'd like to see it up near that average of 12. That'd be bloody great.
The caravaners will be on the march.
Oh, no, they'll just be sneaking their way on and off the City Rail service, I think, because, you don't have to go through ticket things to get off at Broadie. You just have to walk through those walk through the Opal readers, so unless someone's standing on them making sure that they're all tapping off, could be a few free trips I think being given away.
It's not like they'd pay the fine anyway.
Well, yeah, exactly. Does the caravan have an address? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anthony, are we going to have to treat this derby any differently to previous ones, considering both teams' recent forms? Obviously, the Gippos, before they got smashed by Victory, actually had 3 wins in a row, and we've sort of been struggling for some consistent results.
Yeah, I think we just need to go out and flog them, to be fair.
Yeah, that'd be nice. You know,
yeah, it'd be good. A Bodie special would be real good this week. yeah. There's my sports bet codes. So
don't worry, mate. I'm getting on it.
Yeah, Nord for a hat trick. Yeah. But you know, look, we definitely need to. You know, our season is really on the line. Like we really need to get some finals football back, whether it's in Newcastle or not. Just get some finals football back into this club, and you know, with the games coming up, like we've got to play the Wanderers in a few weeks as well. We've got to play Wellington in a few weeks. So, you know, we've got to play teams around us. So we need to be getting, you know, the maximum points off those teams around us, so that when we inevitably lose to the teams above us that we play, you know, it doesn't affect us too bad. So but I think the Mariners, as someone who was actually at the Mariners Victory game last week, they're very beatable. You know, I think we can do it, but we just need to... We just need to play some good football and, you know, forget about last week's atrocities in Adelaide and just go back to the football we were playing in a few weeks before that, where we managed to get a couple of wins, win against Melbourne City. You know, it springs to mind as some good football, but even against Victory, we played some good, you know, flowing attacking football. So if we can get back to that, I think we'll be good.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Well, I will get a little bit more info from you in a minute, Anthony, about the game against Victory that you went and saw, because that's great that somebody actually watched that, because that's going to be pertinent to how we set up.
I can tell you, I only went because it was free tickets. So but yeah, anyway.
yeah. Well, I'd be asking for reimbursement for petrol because you know you'd have to pay me to go watch that crap. All right. So starting team squads were announced today. Obviously, Bougard, Brown, and Lele were all picked up yellow cards in the previous game against Adelaide and are out. So that's made Jonesy bring in 5 players. Obviously, there's going to be a couple left out of the match day squad, but the current preliminary squad is bringing in Coco, Kanter, Vujica, who's been returning after 6 or 7 weeks off now, the old Bridgie layoff, and Labby and Allwright are in. So, Joel, there was a friendly on Wednesday where Labby and Coco both played and scored against Liaoning, who win. That ended up finishing 2-2, so they didn't. Would that performance or would that make any sort of impression on Jones to hopefully play at least one of them for the game on Sunday?
Yeah, well, we all know, you know, Coco's been hot and cold, and out of favour and in favour and injured and back from injury, and so I think if Jones is going to be swayed, it'll be with him to bring him back in. Halidi's hardly had more than 10 minutes in more than a few games, so I don't think Labs will get a run, but Coco needs to come back and get redemption for the busted jaw from November 20 as well, I reckon.
Yeah, well,
hopefully he busts some few jaws.
Yeah, that'd be nice, especially O'Donovan. Joel, as somebody who hasn't been on the podcast recently, and we've obviously asked this question to a number of our other contributors, Coco, do you think Jones has possibly treated him a bit unfairly, or are you of the opinion that Jones was brought in when the team was already signed? There's obviously going to be a player that he's not necessarily going to take a liking to or thinks fits his system. Do you think he's been treated unfairly, or in every club when a new coach comes in, one or two players are going to get bombed out anyway, and that just so happens to be Coco?
I think it's from my opinion is it's more of a perfect anti-storm, like a bad storm for Coco with the injuries. Yeah. I think it was an ankle or something early that put him out. He came late in the preseason, so I don't think he travelled to China in the preseason, and then there was the ankle and then there was the jaw, so there was never any rhythm for him to be in the first team every week. There was never rhythm for him to work with the wingers, who were both firing in preseason and early in the season. And then we've talked and heard about him coming on so late and not getting the service he needs to prove himself. So I just think it's been unfortunate rather than, anything, but with a guy who was scoring in Finland every second game, it's been a massive disappointment, but I just feel it's been bad circumstances rather than the coach not liking him.
Yep, all right. Bodes, obviously the interesting swap arounds is going to be in the back line, because that's where we struggle. And obviously Bugard being the leader that we really need in that back line to make sure that it works efficiently. What do you think Jones is going to do on Sunday? Would you be looking to put Mullen in centre back? Would you be bringing in Katrumbus? What would that back line look like?
If Lachie Jackson obviously is definitely going to be one of them, so I would look. I like Johnny Katrumbus, but I would be putting an experienced head in for a derby. So I would be moving Mullen into centre back, Hoffman to right back. And then, depending on fitness, Vajica, if not, then Cowburn to left back. I think we've got to go with experience, and at this point, Mullen offers that, so I would be going with Mullen.
What about you, Anthony?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Bodes. I'd probably lean more towards Cowburn at left back, given that Vujic has been out for a number of weeks, and Cowby's at least been on the bench, so he's been fit. But I totally agree. I think we need an experienced head. Obviously, we're going to be missing Boogs in the middle there, but I think Mullen and Jackson will be able to get the job done on Roy O'Donovan.
Yep. Joel, you don't see with the inclusion of Kanarovsky that maybe Jonesy might look to pull a Swifty and maybe stick Kanner in there or something and leave Mullen and Roy.
God,
back.
I hope.
Yeah, just what I was so disappointed to even see his name back on the list. That's all I've got to say on that.
Yeah, okay, so that's a worst case scenario, so yeah, nailed on to happen. All right, so we're all pretty much in the agreement. We reckon it should be a back line of Hoffman, Mullen, Jackson, and either Cowburn or Voyitz. I'm probably leaning towards a Cowburn as well. I think defensively he's a little bit more sounder than Voyitz is, although Voyitz gets forward a lot better. That's obviously going to be an interesting discussion. Midfield, obviously I don't think anybody's going to be looking to bomb out Poliak or Stevie UG.
Nope.
Okay. Obviously the forwards is going to be where the other interesting changes are going to have to make with, as we said, with Brown and Lele both out. Bodes, obviously Klute should come back in. Do you think he would actually start Coco, or do you think he's going to continue with the Nobby staying up front for movement?
I think I said on our little discussion we have from time to time, in regards to Nordstrom, I really would be paying Nordstrom and Coco together, and I would have Nordstrom off Coco. Nordstrom just can't play at the point for money. Whenever he plays, he always wants to drop in, and I think this would be the perfect opportunity to put Coco at the point and have Nordstrom dropping in. I see the advantage of Klute, don't get me wrong, but I just really think that I would love to see what Nordstrom could do if he was allowed to sit in behind someone. So, yeah, that's what I would do, but I fully expect Jones to start Klute with Nordstrom at the point.
Yep, okay. Joel, what about you?
Yeah, I don't disagree. If Coco has 90 minutes in his legs, I wouldn't mind having Nobby in behind. He just reads the game really well and puts lovely balls through and would give Coco the service that has been a bit lacking.
You mentioned before, Anthony, you went and saw the game between Victory and the Jupos earlier on, where they got humped, which is good. We're hoping that's going to happen again. With regards to their defence, do you think it would be better having a target man there to try and outmuscle their defenders, or do you think we would be doing better with having a Klute and Nordstrom, keeping them on the pitch and having zippy players running around them?
It's odd. Like Victory had, with obviously Bessart Berisha up front, Victory sort of had the best of both worlds. Like they had that dynamic striker that could run around and hound the defence, but they also had that guy that was big enough to sort of be a target man. So it gave them sort of the best of both worlds. There were times where they'd play the ball to Berisha, he'd happily hold off someone like Poscolero and then lay it off to Troisi or Rojas or someone steaming through. But then there was also the other times when they'd try and hit on the counter-attack and Troisi, Rojas, Berisha all at the same time will be pushing that offside trap to try and get that ball in behind from whoever had won it in the first place. Like, so personally, I would like to see what Bodes mentioned before. I'd love to see Nordstrand, a more dynamic player, playing off Coco and giving us that best of both worlds almost. But yeah, like, it's really hard. Like, the Mariners that I saw last week were, you know, they're obviously playing with confidence coming off three wins in a row, and they were trying to play pretty football, but the problem was is that, you know, they weren't quick to transition back into defense when they lost the ball. So I think that's going to work out well for us this week as a team that has tried to play on the counter all season. I think we just got to try and keep that up, and we'll get past them.
Yeah.
Nordstrand's best minutes this year came in that 30-minute period against the Coast, where he wasn't behind Coco, but he was out in the left cutting in with using his Coco as an outlet. I just remember how dominant he was in that period.
Yep, all right.
So, further supports my point.
Yep. Keep going.
No, that's all I had to say.
Yeah, no, I thought Anthony or Joel were breaking in there for
a second. Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
I'm good.
All right. All right, fair enough. Okay, so, Joel, I'm just trying to think whether... Do you see the Mariners' fullbacks as being the ones that are vulnerable, or their centre-backs, or is it their whole defensive line that we should be looking to exploit? Because obviously Naboot and Houle are creating plenty of space, even against the better teams. It's just the delivery into the box for somebody to actually get on the end of that's been lacking. But obviously with Central Coast shipping goals for fun, even when they are winning, what are we going to be needing to exploit?
I did see a stat that shows McGinn has had like 99 clearances, whereas the other backs have had less than half that, like 47.
Yep.
So McGinn's going to be key for them, and we need to make sure that we're getting around him or through him or over the top of him.
Yep.
Or chopping him. But we need to deal with him because he's obviously been making the most of their clearances.
And what do you think's going to be player to put
Paul
up against
Ogun's going to do that for us, to be honest, because McGing's been playing in midfield and he's been playing Liam Rose as a centre-half partner with Jacob Poscolero. So he's got two midgets playing in the back line. So seriously, stick Coco on him and they're never going to win a header against him.
Yep, okay.
And so like I said, with McGinn in midfield, like he's trash, like he's turning the ball over. He was directly at fault for two of Victory's three goals last week, two of Victory's four goals last week. So yeah, I don't think he's going to be a massive threat myself. But
So Bodes, would it just be a matter of sitting back and waiting for the Mariners to turn the ball over, or is that too dangerous? We should be imposing ourselves on the game.
No, we're the home team. We've got to press. Definitely. I would 100%. We've got to press and force them into the mistake.
All right. Anthony, back to you. Obviously, the two better players playing up front for them is obviously O'Donovan and Bahadur, I think. He's usually pushing up in support and is usually one of their better attacking players. What do you think is going to be the best way to deal with those guys? And is there anyone else that we need to be watching out for?
I think Fabio Ferreira has been pretty hot and cold.
That's why I didn't even mention
him. He obviously had a lot of injury. Yeah, I know, but I thought I'd bring him up, given that he's the highest paid player there, I think. But look, he's been pretty hot and cold. I thought he had an okay game against Victory in the first half, but then just sort of went quiet. Trent Bahadur doesn't have 90 minutes in him. Mm-hmm. So, if he starts, he'll run flat out for 70, but, the last 20, he'll either die or he'll get subbed. And, I think Connor Payne's probably, upped his game a bit turning up at the Mariners, but, he's just another Mitch Austin. Like, he can run straight. That's about it. So, to be fair, I think really O'Donovan is probably the only person I'm genuinely concerned about, like, up front. But, if the boys can... We've got two centre-halves and then two holding midfielders. Like, there's four of us. There are four of them cramping that middle. Like, they're only going to be able to go wide and, play it to the donkeys out wide that can run straight. So, I don't think there's going to be too many threats going forward.
How much space is there usually between O'Donovan and the rest of the team? Is he usually fairly isolated, or is Ocon actually pretty good at getting the team pushing up to support him and give him options?
It was weird. Like, they sort of tried to use him as like a pivot style of player last week. Like, they had him as that sort of target man, and they try and go, for example, through Bahadur on the right. When they realised that wouldn't work, they'd knock it back to Rue, who would then try and bomb it to the middle, and then they'd see which side had the better option. It was odd, but I think he is quite isolated. I think you know, if we had a big boy like Lockie Jackson on, you know, keeping him in his pocket, I think he'd be fine.
All right. Bodes, how we said last week, it's really imperative to be beating the teams around us. We really don't want to lose this week. If we do lose this week, is our finals push done, or can we recover?
Oh, we in the A-League, you can always recover, but gee, it'll be probably the most demoralising thing that's probably happened this season, I think, if we manage to lose the Gippos at home. So, yeah, we can recover, but geez, we need to set a mark this weekend. We need to beat the teams under us.
Well, I think we're done. If we lose this match, that's a loss against Adelaide and Mariners, which are meant to be two of the easiest of the last eight games. I think we're out of the six.
Yeah, Anthony, is that consistency problem down to any one thing? Obviously, we were looking okay once we recovered from that November-December slump. We actually started performing pretty well in January, but the last couple of games, it's been slim pickings.
Yeah, I was at the risk of sounding like Jonesy. Obviously, we had a lot of injuries and things like that. that's a couple of bucks in the swear jar, surely.
Yeah, no, it's the Mark Jones drinking game. We have to have a drink. It's the Mark Jones drinking game. Every time he mentions injuries, we've got to do a drink.
Those playing along at home have a massive drink. Yeah. But look, I think the last couple of weeks, what's really hurt us is our inability to put teams away. We seem to have inconsistencies in the final third where the final ball's not good enough, the shot's not good enough, or whatever the case may be. So that, I think, has killed us. A lack of, you know, someone up front to... We need a 10-goal-a-season striker. Like, everyone needs it. But, you know, we need someone that's in the mould that, you know, with the right service can put goals away, like the McLarens, the Berishas, the Fornarolis. Even if they're only getting half the amount of goals that those blokes are getting, you know, someone that can consistently bang in goals and get us good results from that forward position. We'd be fantastic. But, yeah, it's the inconsistency that's killed us.
Yeah, Joel, it's been a bit weird the last couple of games. Like, Hooley and Naboot have been racing towards... Well, they were both getting up there in the gold stakes. But the last couple of weeks, they just seem to have gone off the boil in a major way and nobody else has picked up the slack.
Well, the shots have dropped off, and I don't know if it's because the other team's coaches are really, you know, honing in on the Andrews and getting their guys to hone in on them. But, you know, when we played them in November, we had 20 shots to their 8. But then in the last couple of matches, we've had maybe 10 or so around against Adelaide. We just haven't had as many shots, and Hull hasn't been getting into as good of positions. And so I think, yeah, I don't know whether it's our boys coming off the boil or them being targeted, but the fluidity hasn't been there. And we haven't won a heap either, so the confidence isn't riding high. And I'm just worried that with the Mariners having had those three wins in a row, even though they faltered against Victory, they're going to have that three weeks of really buoyant confidence that is in the back, in the front of their memory. And I just, if we start slow again like we have been doing, it does make me worry.
Bodes, is that how you see it? The other coaches have been surprised and have managed to adapt to Naboot and Hool being really effective, and they've actually been marking them out of the game. Is that been the reason why they've dropped off?
Yes and no. I think the main thing is when we've had poor performance and dropped the shots, our transition's been slow. Like our best, when we're most effective, is when we get the balls to the Andrews straight away, sort of thing. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess obviously there's always good coaching involved, but yeah, I think when we have a poor match, like say the other one last week, our transition is very slow.
Yeah, well, that might be maybe more down to effective passing from midfield up to those guys. So Poliak and Stevie need to really step up, and whoever plays in that number 10 role needs to move the ball around a lot quicker.
Mm. Yeah, Hoffman's been, you know, doing good overlaps and stuff and those forward runs to try and maybe take the pressure off the wingers at points. Because, you know, if it's only ever the two Andrews, you know, going on those runs, it's easier to pick. So we do need others to make runs as well. And I don't know if Lele was doing that as efficiently as he could have been.
Yeah, well, I think most of us were pretty much in agreement over the last couple of podcasts that Lele shouldn't have been played.
Out on the podcast on Monday night.
Yeah, no, he was.
You and me both.
We're purely playing him for commercial reasons, do you think, Anthony? Is that how you see it?
Oh, geez,
maybe
Ferns.
Not. Well, that's it. It was mentioned on the previous one.
You're going to be in trouble, Ferns.
I don't care.
You've put me in a real tough spot. I can't answer that question.
That's all right. No problem. Hey, I've got to play devil's advocate. All right, Bodes, getting back to the mentality, and you can take your drink while I ask this question. There you go. The old cliche of form doesn't matter in a derby. How much stock do you put in that statement, and will there be any sort of hangover in our mentality from a pretty demoralising loss away to Adelaide last week and also struggling in the previous games as well? Does that play any part when you come into a derby, or obviously Wanderers had been awful right up until last weekend and then managed to...
you're going to let me go?
Yeah, go.
I'm kidding. Form definitely does go out the window, especially... For a derby, but this I think is more important than the Sydney derby last week, and it was only probably important for Western Sydney last week. Sydney could lose all the games for the rest of the season, and they'll still probably win the premiership. So, it's massive. I agree with you.
Form does go out the window. All right. Now, the only other thing I'd like to cover off before we get to the interview with a Central Coast supporter that Grant did during the week. Anthony is... I had a real bugbear with the way the league itself actually treats the F3 Derby. I don't think it gets the promotion. I don't think it gets the time slot. I don't think it gets the build-up.
We don't even do the walkout.
We don't even do... Well, I'm happy with that. I don't want to do the walkout because I think that's the shittest thing in football. But do you think that if they actually spent some time, some money and some effort on it, it could actually... You might actually be able to get some more people through the gate and create a bit of a TV spectacle if it was a Saturday night 7:50 kickoff like the other two, the Melbourne and the Sydney editions are.
Definitely. We need FFA and the media to help breed the hatred. Like, it's all well and good for us to do it, but, you know, like, everyone knows there's that divide in Sydney, the East versus West, and everyone knows there's the divide in Melbourne of Victory fans and ex-Victory fans. but, you know, like, here it's different. Like, you know, we all know that if you cross the Swansea Bridge, that's that clear divide for us, but for them it's 9th versus 10th generally. Like, it's a game that doesn't matter, and for us, you know, I'd love to see us get back to the days of, you know, like, get back to the early days, get back to the 2008 grand final days, get back to those nasty derbies, like, get some passion back in it, and, like, this is the original derby in the A-League. Like, let's treat it as such.
Yeah. It does seem that the A-League has obviously focused more on the metropolitan derbies and basically let this one slide. That's obviously a victim of our circumstances. Both clubs have been pretty crap for a fair while now. But do you think that... are you in the same as agreement with Anthony? You think that they could actually take the time and effort and actually build this up so that it would matter more to the general
public? Yeah, they can. For me, it's about storytelling, because a lot of the interstate viewers don't even know where Newcastle and the Central Coast are, and they don't know anything about it. So you've got to remind them of, you know, the 08 grand final. You've got to remind them of the clashes. You've got to tell the story that it was the original derby, and Fox Sports needs to do that with a great package, showing all the massive 25,000 person crowds. So it's doable, but you're going to have to make people care, because they don't care, and Fox Sports ratings are shite for those matches. So that's why we're Sunday afternoon again. So the chances of them doing it, I feel, is slim.
Mm. Bodes, what do you think? Obviously, I was watching the Sydney derby last weekend, and just the build up, the package, the pre-match packages that they put together, it just screams that they actually give a shit about it more than they do about the F3 derby.
Oh, of course they do, because it rates. Yeah. It rates. So, but I'll tell you what they can do. They should just get Nick Murder and Andrew Durante in a room and just let them have at it.
Yeah.
That would sell the F3 derby for me.
Bring back Vignaroli. Bring back Sean Rooney.
Yeah, bring back Viggs, Sean Rooney, Zads. Just bring back all the hotheads.
Yeah, you surround about 10 people around Hutcho, and then just...
that'll do it. But yeah, just, like, could you just imagine Nick Murder and... actually, it might be Murder. I call him Murder.
Yeah, that's right.
And just, let him at it.
All right, no problems. All right, well, like I mentioned before, what we'll do now is jump to the opposition's perspective. So Grant did an interview earlier this week with Dane to get the Mariners' version of how they're looking at this game, and we'll jump to that now and then come back and talk over a couple more things before we get into some general predictions. So here is Grant with Mariners supporter Dane.
Yeah, g'day Jets fans. I'm here today with Central Coast Mariners supporter Dane. Just like to gonna ask a few questions about the upcoming derby on this coming Sunday at McDonald Jones Stadium. Both teams are coming off a loss, so obviously very important for both our sides. So tell us, Dane, mate, how long have you been supporting the Mariners?
I've been supporting the Mariners since day one, since the inception of the A-League.
Okay, so Mariners support, I suppose, is a bit like the Jets support. They tend to be, if they're winning, the crowd numbers go up, and if they're losing, they drop down. I think both of the regional clubs have issues maintaining that momentum. And tell us, mate, you're currently sitting in, Mariners are currently sitting in ninth spot, 5 points outside of the top six. Have you been happy with you're going, the year's been going so far for you?
I have been happy, considering last year under Tony Walmsley we had a dreadful season. But this season under Paul Ocon, I think we've stepped it up and we've done a lot better than what we have been.
Yeah, so Paul Ocon seems to have been making a real difference with the club, and you can see on the win you had last weekend, he's on the field there, and he's getting right in amongst it. So it must have meant a lot for him as well. So, what do you think of his style? And you can compare it to Walmsley. It's what's your biggest points that you pull out of that?
I really enjoy. I think the passion that he brings to the club. The guys can just see it there, and they actually listen to him.
Yep.
And perform on the field as much as they can, just because they can see that his heart is in it as much as the players are. I think that goes a long way. Where Walmsley, he was on the sideline. I'm not sure what he was going on about, but yeah, didn't have much there at all.
No. Well, obviously, an Ocon is a great player as well. Obviously, a former Jets player too. So, you know, has to be mentioned, and it's nice to see everybody that comes to the Jets goes on and does extremely well elsewhere. But the club though has gone through some turbulent times with Charlesworth as the owner. He's he was talking about moving, relocating the club, and I know Laurie McKenna had a lot to do with the movement to stop that from happening. So he has been a bit turbulent, but do you think he's starting to settle in regards to his ownership?
At the end of the day, Charlesworth is a businessman, so I think he's just trying to look after himself. But after the backlash he got from all the fans about trying to move the club, I think he's moved his position on what he wants to do now. Yeah. So he's brought in the idea of that. The new stadium with the hotel and everything to generate more money, which I think is a brilliant idea, because he has to find new places to get it, because he's not getting it from where he is now.
Yeah, look, I think that's one of the big things with a lot of the football clubs. You know, the Amy Park there is a 15,000 seat stadium, and Adelaide, what's it called? Cooper Stadium. Is another one where they're boutique stadiums. And when if you get 10,000 to 12,000 people there, they're absolutely rocking the house down. So it certainly does make a good sense from Charlesworth's point of view. But also there's talk about him putting a little bit more money, a bit more cash out for the club. And in that, what do you think your chances are of keeping O'Donovan?
I would love to keep O'Donovan, but we need to sign a couple more players for him to stay. I think he's got the ability to score goals, which he's proven, but he needs someone there to provide the service. And at this stage, I don't think the Mariners have that quality player that can provide the service. And Charlesworth said that he's going to give Ocon the money to spend. So hopefully we'll see it. And if he does, then hopefully O'Donovan stays because we need him. He's a good goal scorer.
Yeah, well, it'll be quite interesting to see because there's also rumours, obviously, that the Jets have shown interest in him as well.
Yeah,
so.
And the Wanderers. I've heard there's a few clubs chasing him. So
that's right. And
it's going to be pretty tough to keep him.
Okay, so look, the game's on this Sunday. A typical kick-off time for us in the afternoon.
5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, so in regards to how do you think it's going to go?
It's going to be a good game. There's only 2 points separating us, so I think both teams are going to go out there and fight for the win. Yeah. I think Mariner's going to have a little bit too much quality. I think O'Donovan's going to put it in, and I think Mariners will take it out by one.
Okay, so you picked the score. It's going to be 1-0, you reckon?
I think 2-1. 2-1.
Okay, so you think that from a Mariners point of view, O'Donovan's the threat. So
O'Donovan is the threat, and if we can shut down Naboo, I think it's going to be a good night.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay, from a Jets point of view, where do you see the main threats coming from?
Andrew Naboo for sure.
Yeah. He's class, isn't he?
He's done really well this season,
You're dead right there. Okay, so you've picked the Mariners to win, obviously, because you're, I'll say, a very long time, as long as I've known you, you've been a Mariners supporter, which is quite odd. Whereabouts do you live in the Central Coast?
I'm not actually from the Central Coast.
Right.
No,
you don't live in the Central Coast.
No, I don't live on the Central Coast.
Okay, so do you support Queensland and the state of Oregon?
I do not support Queensland.
Just checking.
I support New South Wales.
Okay, just checking. But
I don't often watch the state of Oregon, though.
Look, you've picked the Mariners to win 2-1. Do you think if they do win, I doubt if that's going to be the case, but if you think they... If they do win, will it be a hollow victory for the fact that Bugard, Brown and Malele won't be playing this Sunday?
All I'm hearing at the moment is excuses as to why you're going to lose.
No, I'm just saying it'll be a hollow victory.
No, victory's a victory. So, and as a Mariners fan, I'll take it.
You'll take anything, I'm sure, as a Mariners fan. Look, the other thing I've got to ask, it's a bit topical, it's been mentioned before. Do Mariners supporters believe they're being racially vilified, being called gippos?
No, I don't think so. I think you've got it around the wrong way, because I do believe that the Jets fans are gippos. that's what I've heard at games anyway.
Oh, okay.
That's just what I've heard.
Yeah, well, if you can point to a spot on the map that says Central Coast, I'll be happy to go there one day and have a coffee or something. But we are going to be a bit behind the ball, I think, with those three players out. And in fact, I don't know if you know that the Jets team against Adelaide was the first time we've put the same team on two rounds.
Oh, was it? There you go.
Two games in a row. So therefore, that just shows that we are able to play with a different format and a different formation. So it will be exciting. I expect it to be every bit of a derby as the original and best derby has always been.
Should be a great crowd too, because that concept with the opposite fans being able to get in
for free,
that's great.
That's some of the smart things.
Yeah, the two clubs really did that.
And Dane, thanks for your time, mate. Most appreciated. We're all looking for a good game. I think the score will be 2-1, but it won't be Mariners' way. And help us get back into the six and keep you guys. Well, Adelaide is starting to come home. So do you think your wooden spoon safe in Mariners' hands? In Adelaide's hands?
I don't think it's safe until the last round.
Okay.
But we've definitely done better than last season. So
you certainly have.
I'm happy.
Okay. Rightio, again, thanks, mate.
No worries, thank you.
All right, thanks very much to Grant there. Anthony, just before we get into predictions, obviously the ref, we found out the ref appointed for this game is our old mate Sean Evans. Discuss. We got any stats on how we've performed against him and what we get and what we don't get and all that sort of thing?
Oh, I'm grossly underprepared, but I can tell you what we do get from Sean Evans, and that's red cards. He loves dishing out cards. Sean Evans, to be fair, has had a few weeks off, whether that's because he's had AFC appointments or, you know, whatever the case may be. But you know, maybe he's going to be a bit better behaved now that he's back in the A-League, or, yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what to expect because he's such an inconsistent referee.
Didn't he send Boogs off last season? Twice? Or is
he
that
did.
My imagination?
Yes.
Yeah, so, well, that's all right. Boogs has already got the week off, so that hopefully won't make any difference this time, but hopefully he doesn't transfer that onto any of our other defenders. All right, so prediction time. Joel, I want to get a crowd number and a score.
10,826. that's the crowd number, not the score. And I'm saying Jets 3-2 with a nobby winner in extra time, in injury time.
Beautiful. Bodes?
9.5, 4-0.
Yep, sorry, you were muffled there for a sec. All right.
Sorry, yeah. That's sorry,
all right.
Matt.
You're right, no worries. Anthony?
I'm going to go 11-1, and I'm going to go 2-1 Newcastle.
All right. I'm going to go 10,500, and I think it will probably end up being a 3-1 win to us. So that would be fantastic if that happens. All right, so what we'll do, cover off the rest of round 21 before we wrap it up. Friday night sees the round start off with Melbourne City hosting Sydney FC. This will be a pretty tasty affair down there at Amy Park. Joel, 7:50 kickoff. What do you think the score's going to be here?
Sydney 1-0.
Yep.
I just think they'll want to, you know, make up for being invincible.
You don't think this is going to be a high-scoring game with all the players that that City will be having back and having home?
No. Or maybe I just didn't put enough thought into my answer before.
No, that's all right. All right, Boats?
I'm going the opposite way. I think City will win. I think now that Sydney, the invincible thing is over, I still think they're going to win the Premiership, but they basically need to lose every game, and victory need to win every game. So, yeah, I'll say City 3-1.
All right. Anthony?
Yeah, I think Sydney, and in particular Graham Arnold, have too much pride. I reckon that they'll bounce back pretty well. I reckon they'll win 3-0.
Okay. I don't think they'll bounce back. I don't think they'll lose. I think it'll be a 2-2 draw, but I think... yeah, I don't know why I'm giving City any props. I don't even know if they can get that, but we'll see. Anyway, Saturday sees a triple header. Starts off in Brisbane where they're hosting Wellington, 5:35 PM kickoff. Bodes, what do you reckon here?
Yeah, Wellington were my surprise packet for the season. So they've well and truly surprised me, just in a completely wrong way. So I'm going to go Brisbane 3-0.
Joel?
Yeah, I reckon Brisbane 2-0. They're just kind of riding high on the back of ACL, and wasn't a bad performance against Perth in the first half either.
Yep, okay. Anthony?
Yeah, Wellington have traditionally done quite well in Brisbane, so I'm thinking they might actually get a draw out of the game. I'm going to pick 1-1.
All right. As much as obviously Wellington's our one of our favourite teams, apart from our own Jets, of course. But I couldn't imagine being a yellow fever supporter at the moment. It must be so frustrating. And I don't think they're going to have much success in this game either. I think Brisbane are flying too high and are too confident. I think they'll win 3-1. All right, Victory playing Adelaide. This could turn into a bit of a blowout, Bodes.
Yeah, I think so. I was almost going to go the 4-0, but I'll just go 4-1 just to be sympathetical.
I am going the 4-0. Anthony?
Yeah, again, I'm going to break from the crowd here, and I think Adelaide will give them a run, but not too much. I just think it'll be nice, easy 2-1 or 2-0 victory for Victory.
Joel?
I'm just fascinated by the fact that Adelaide's paying $7.35 for a win. So I might put some money on that and say Adelaide 1-0.
Wow, the boy. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I can't see it.
To try and win $7.35 for every dollar.
This sounds like Josh Mitchell when he said the Jets would win in Perth for the first time and it come off.
Yeah, well, that's true.
It's that type of prediction.
The logic is, like, Melbourne drew with the Jets, Adelaide beat the Jets, therefore Adelaide should beat Melbourne.
Yep, fair enough. That's impeccable.
Yes, if all logic worked like that.
Impeccable logic. I can't fault that, Joel. While you're giving us the logic, you can give us what your score prediction is going to be for the final game on Saturday night, which is Perth hosting the Wanderers at 10 p.m.
Yeah, this is going to be a close game. I'm saying 2-2 draw.
Anthony?
Yeah, we all know how tough it is to win in Perth, so I'm going to pick the Glory, yep. Which is going to suck for us because that pretty much means that it's only 6 spot up for grabs, but whatever. Yeah, yep. I'll go the Glory.
Yep.
1-0.
Bodes?
It's going to be a throbbing encounter.
yeah.
3-1 Perth.
three dick tiffos.
Yeah, tiffos.
Three dick tiffos.
The football too.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, no, 3-1.
There's your episode title. Three dick tiffos. All right. I think it's going to be 3-1. I think it's going to be 3-1 as well. Oh, good.
I'm
Lord.
Pretty happy with that.
Yep, no, that's fair
will
enough.
They be Glory tiffos, like purple ones, big purple eggplants.
No, I don't think the RBB can be that subtle, mate.
But it was just a sausage roll. What are you going on about?
Well, yeah, no, it was a hot dog. Yeah. It was a hot dog.
Hey, like someone made a comment the other day, I just can't believe they went to so much detail.
Yeah,
like it had the pink and everything. Like, it was so well done.
They spent a couple of days doing that. And, shading and putting vein. Yeah, I know. Oh, well, I don't want to get into it.
If it's all you can draw, you want to put a bit of pride into it.
Like, have you guys seen Superbad, the movie with Jonah Hill?
Yep.
Yeah, that's
just couldn't
exactly
stop drawing dicks
thinking.
Everywhere.
Just couldn't stop drawing dicks.
So RBB are Superbad, are they? Oh, good Lord. I haven't seen that movie in yonks. Might be, Anyway.
Great movie.
Yep. All right. Okay. All right. Thanks very much, guys. Want to thank, before we wrap up, those guys on Facebook who responded to our request for some text suggestions today. And the reason I mention it is we're hoping to launch some sort of Jetstream video, hopefully this Sunday, if I can purchase the required attachment to make the whole thing work properly, to get some decent quality video going. So if that happens, we'd request that everybody jumps onto our Facebook group.
That's going to be expensive, Ferns.
No, it'll be fine. I've still got two.
What, you can afford to pay something that'll make you look beautiful?
Yeah, they've got filters for that. It's fine.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
No problem.
So what we'll probably end up doing is trying out a Facebook live broadcast on Sunday at some point, maybe either during halftime or a post-match interview. So keep an eye on our Facebook group. You can go to facebook.com/JetstreamNewey and like the page, and then you'll get, obviously, the updates when we go to broadcast. But if you miss that, that'll be fine. We're going to look at setting up a YouTube channel as well to post up the videos after the fact. So we'll announce all that sort of stuff on social media once we have it all sorted and confirmed and I test that it actually works. So, yes, exciting times ahead to add some video through to the podcast, and we might even be able to get some sort of magazine happening again at some point, Bodes.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes. Extremely non-committal answer there. Thank you. All right. So as we said before, guys, get along to the stadium on Sunday. Make some noise. Let's get the win against those scum of the earth. Really want to thank everybody for listening, downloading, sharing. We also request, if you can, to share the podcast page and let people know that we actually exist so that we can help get out to as many Jets fans as possible. Want to thank the guys for joining me tonight as well. So thanks for jumping back, Bodes, and finally finishing that beer segment.
Yeah, mate, no problems. It's good to be back on. Hopefully my next break isn't as long.
Awesome. Thanks very much for joining us again, Anthony, and I look forward to hearing your Sean Evans review on Monday.
Oh, God, I cannot wait to give it to you.
And welcome back, and thanks for joining us, Joel. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll have you on again in the future.
Mate, I'm super pumped for Sunday. I can't wait to spend 90 minutes yelling abuse at Izzo behind the goal in the squadron.
That'll be fair.
Get to the game, Newey. Let's do this.
Yep, absolutely. Get to the game. Get your tickets. Doesn't matter where you sit. sit with us preferably, but sit wherever you can and just yell abuse at the field. That's what it's all about. Now, if you need to get in contact with any of us, you can get all of the contact information on the show notes. Just click that, and that'll have all our Twitter handles and also the Jetstream Newey social media addresses. So, again, thanks very much for listening, guys, and go the Jets.
You!
No sense.
Rough. I'm Poochie the dog.
Well, there we go. This
paint my wagon.
Can I come too?
Gonna paint it fine.
Oh, I'm down, Benjamin!